Good afternoon, friends. Welcome to the Grace Hour, a daily program that takes a dive into believers' daily challenges and helps us learn how to walk in our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Ronaldo Brown, and I'm in studio with Pastor Stephen Schiavelli. And today, in fact, all this week, we've been talking about a subject very near and dear to the heart of the founder of this program and also to our pastor, missions. We've been talking about missions all week, and today, the last program we focus on, the Great Commission. And ordinarily, that would be a term we would think we wouldn't have to define, but actually in this day and age, a lot of people don't really know what the Great Commission is. It is actually the message of our mission. Without the Great Commission, there is no mission. I want to begin, Pastor Belli, I'll read a portion of Scripture. We can start talking about the Great Commission. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, I'll read from here. I am a debtor, Paul says, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I love that expression, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This is so important to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is an important, important message for our mission. There's so many missions that happen today that don't live, don't exercise, and don't operate in the Great Commission.
Well, maybe they're not really Christian. Or maybe they're not Spirit-filled.
There you go.
Okay, we'll go with that one.
That'd be safe.
I like that. thinking about the Great Commission, I don't know where that term actually came from. I think it's been something that's been used for many, many, many decades and centuries in regards to bringing the gospel to people. I kind of have changed it in my own mind. Sure. It's only great because it's grace.
Mm.
It's a grace commission. And that's like Galatians 2:9. He talks about that. You know, there was they saw that it was given to me personally, the grace of God, and that we gave each other the right hand of fellowship. And the reason was that we should go. That we should go. It's Peter, James, and John give Paul, Silas, and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. They give the devil the left foot. They give each other the right hand. See, the left foot comes in handy to kick out the devil. So this message of the gospel is incredible. And I love Romans 1. And remember, Rome is a city of 4 million people. When Paul is writing this, he's writing to a city of 4 million people. And for the most part, the church was living underground. They said the church was known by two C's. The catacombs where they lived. And there was actually like cities and levels down below, like four levels from what I understand. And so the church was known by two C's, the catacombs where they lived and the Colosseum where they died. And it was really interesting. And so yet they're not intimidated. And Paul was not intimidated about bringing the gospel to this city of 4 million, which worshiped Caesar, had all kinds of, if you think, I mean, things are wicked now and evil now in our society, but it was really enhanced during that time. Rome was a idolatrous, adulterous society that totally disregarded, hated God, mocked God, and went after anything that represented God. So Paul is saying to the church here, after he gives them a kind of a charge commission in Romans 1, 5 through 8, and speaks to them about the importance of having an apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, he talks about three things, and I called them, we've heard them said before, the three I ams of the gospel. Number one, I am a debtor. Number two, I am ready. And number three, I'm not ashamed. Let's take them one by one. Number one, I am a debtor. It means I owe an obligation. Now, a lot of Christians don't like to think like that. Oh, no, that sounds like works to me, you know. That sounds like something that's not grace, really. Well, he says, I am debtor. I have an obligation to pay to God. In other words, God has given me a message, and it's been given to me so that I can proclaim that message. You know, I remember the day that I got saved in 1976, January 6th, that I didn't know anything about a born-again church, never had been to one, and never knew of anyone in the city I was in. And I decided, after understanding the importance of having a transformation take place, I needed to go out on the street. This was long before I met the church or the ministry. Go out on the streets with a Bible and tell people about Jesus Christ, although I knew nothing. I just knew that something had changed in my life, and that's all I had to say. But I can remember from that very day forward, January 6, 1976, I was really consumed by God's thoughts about bringing the gospel to people, telling people the good news, the glad news. I call it the three G's, the good news, the glad news, the great news. Good, glad, great. And he says, I'm a debtor. I have an obligation to bring this gospel. I wonder if churches ever think like that, that you have an obligation. You're a church.
Yeah.
And the name means ecclesia, called out. But if you are called out, and you are when you're born again and you're saved, that's where the church is. Are you in the business of calling out people with the gospel?
That's and
there's a problem today with that. Oh, yes, I'm saved. I'm born again. I've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. But are you doing any calling out? Are you doing any gospel ministry? Are you bringing the mission to a lost and dying world? So he says, I am debtor. Then he says, number two, he says, I am ready. The word is prothumia, and it means I have a forward mind. I'm thinking of going forward with this. I'm not just going to stand in one place and say, okay, I gave the gospel to my family. I gave it to my best friend. That's enough for me. No, Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are of Rome. I'm going forward with the gospel. Sometimes somebody will plant the church, a church will plant the church, and they'll say, well, that's it. That's what we did. That's our big deal for the rest of our 20, 30, 40, 50-year existence. No, he says, I am ready. I am having a forward mind, prothumia. I'm going forward with the message of the gospel. It should not end. It should be like Wesley, still preaching in his 80s, you know, still going forward, still riding on horseback. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. Then he says, number three, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So I am debtor. I am ready, and I am not ashamed. The word eschunomei means I'm not shrinking down from it. I'm not shrinking down. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. And I would dare to say there's been times in my life where I've been ashamed of the gospel.
Really?
And then God corrected it, you know, really quickly, within about a minute, you know. You know, maybe the Holy Spirit telling you to witness to somebody, but you feel this sense of shame or something happens, you know, and it's the enemy projecting towards the old sin nature to shrink you down. Shrinking down means you are not living in the position that God has given you to propagate, to be a part of, to engage it. I am a debtor. I am ready, and I'm not ashamed. And he says, I'm going to preach this message. And it wasn't a well-received message in Rome right away.
Yeah.
I mean, they say the church maybe in Rome had 100 to 120 people all living kind of underground and in obscurity, per se. But this is for us today. I am a debtor. I have a debt to pay. It isn't just for me to enjoy Christmas with all the presents around the tree, say, thank God the Savior came. But am I ever speaking to anybody about the Savior, about salvation, about Christ? I'm not trying to put anything on anybody. But because churches have neglected evangelism, they say only one out of every 10 people even proclaim the good news, even evangelize. One out of 10. Evangelize. Churches, even less. I think if you've got 10 churches in America someplace or in any country in the world, how many of them would have a mission with a plan and a schedule to reach lost people? That's amazing to me.
Really, when we talk about the Great Commission, Pastor Billy, we're talking about the call to believers to share the gospel, to share their faith. That is the Great Commission. That is what the Great Commission, and I like the way you put it, it's a mandate from God. And if you look at Matthew chapter 28, 16 really through 20, Acts 1, 8, in fact, every gospel and the book of Acts all repeat the Great Commission. The challenge from Christ to share the gospel. That's what, never mind the church, maybe my church doesn't exercise or operate in the Great Commission. I like what you said. I have a mandate, an obligation as a believer to share my faith. What's very interesting in this day and age is that there's a young generation that is taking up the mantle to share their faith with people. There's a generation right now on the ground that's sharing their faith. And by the way, while I'm there, let me just also invite you to join us on the program at 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. We'd love to hear your comments about your part in the Great Commission, how you relate to the Great Commission. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe your experience as a believer. Sometimes we think that that's the work of a pastor, that's the work of an evangelist, but that is, this call was given to the church at large. It wasn't given to specific individuals.
Christians.
Yes.
Christians. Hello.
Yes.
You know, it's very interesting to me. I preached a message one time in a church that had like 500 people in it.
Yes.
And they told me there was absolutely no evangelism. Now, it starts with the leaders. I'm going to tell you something right now. If a leader doesn't evangelize, the pastor of a church or the elders or the leaders, they should resign. That's basically what I'm going to say today. They should resign their position because they are not leading correctly. That's why I think churches don't have evangelical times or periods when they go out or an evangelical lifestyle or program because the leadership of the church does not evangelize. And what you see is, look at the 11 apostles. They all died as martyrs.
Yes.
And in foreign countries. They were evangelical. Leadership that does not evangelize just perpetrates people that do the same thing. Nothing happens. And so if a leader, and I'm not saying that, you know, a leader could talk about it and do it and people still might not go.
Yes.
But I'm saying it's very important that pastors and leaders would step out and share their faith, share the gospel, talk about it, try to initiate it into the church and see what takes place. Because I don't think I could spend 1 month under a church where the leadership did not evangelize. That's just me personally. I don't think I could do that.
Let me express it. Let me get wide a little bit. Okay, when we say evangelization, is that the only way to exercise the Great Commission?
Well, you can do it on the radio, obviously. But we'll like face-to-face.
Okay.
I really believe face-to-face is the way it should be done.
Okay.
Sometimes people can go out on a outreach, and there's one person doing all the speaking, and they can sit there, 50 of them, and do nothing. There's one person doing all the speaking, and that's the end of that. And so what happens is they hide behind that one person, and they never become responsible to proclaim the gospel, which is very sad, very sad. I mean, I'm glad somebody's doing it, but I'm not going to hide behind somebody else doing it and shirk my responsibility because God has shown me that heaven is real and hell is real. And there is a decision that must be made by every single person to say yes to Jesus Christ. It's good news. It's not bad news. It's very good news. It's a message that can change a person's life. And so that's key.
Let's take those 3 points you gave from Romans chapter 1, and let's put this in practical words. Okay, and by the way, you can watch us on podcast, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, and Stitcher. Catch us on podcast. Write in. We'd love to hear from you. But take those 3 points. Okay, I recognize as a believer, because of the Great Commission and the gospel, that I'm a debtor. But here's the rub, Pastor Belly. But then the second point you gave, I don't see that I'm ready. So because I don't see that I'm ready, I become ashamed. So I am a debtor, but I tend to see that I'm not ready because either I don't know what to say, I don't feel comfortable talking to confrontational to strangers. Mm-hmm. Then I become ashamed because I know I'm a debtor. And that's where a lot of believers are.
Well, the word ready, prothumia,
okay,
means I have a forward mind. So what has to happen is, I need to study the scriptures and have the mind of God about the gospel message.
Okay.
About heaven and hell. Is it real? Okay. What does the Bible say? Do you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 9 where Paul mentions the word gospel 10 times?
Okay.
Do you read Mark 16, Matthew 28, Luke 24, John chapter 21, Acts 1, 7, and 8, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 9, 10, and 11, and on it goes. Okay. So I need a new mind. Mm-hmm. See, the word repentance, nobody likes to use that word. Repentance means change your thinking.
Okay.
So I need to change my thinking. If I don't have a forward mind, a ready mind, then I need to get God's mind, because God's mind is he was ready. He came to the earth for sinful man to die. So he had a forward mind. So if I am, I have an obligation, okay, I recognize that, but I need to have the mind of Jesus Christ, and I need to look at the gospel. I need to be in a church that speaks about the mind of God. I need to hear about evangelism. I need to be in a place where it is propagated and promoted.
Okay.
If I'm not in that place, I'm in trouble, because I'm missing a great part of what is my Christianity.
So you said study it, and then maybe you could also encourage, you could say, go with others who do it.
Yes.
One of the great classrooms in the body of Christ is the body of Christ, meaning what the body is doing. If you want to learn how to do what the body is doing, do it with the body.
Yes.
Proverbs 13, verse 20, he who seeks to be wise puts himself with wise men, but a companion of fools is destroyed. If I'm with guys that don't evangelize, I won't evangelize. And to that end, we were talking about missions all this week, Pastor Belly. If I don't operate in the Great Commission in my local church, what will I take to the mission field?
Why would you even go? I mean, obviously, if you don't do it in Baltimore, why would you do it in Morocco? In other words, if you don't do it in your home church, what makes you think that a transfer of location, a location change, is going to bring in spirituality? I'm afraid that's not how it works.
You know?
But I really think what happens is, and Jesus said this, he used this word a lot when it came to the gospel. Fear not, Luke 5:10. I will make you a fisher of men. I do the making. See, what happens is we begin to think, I can't do this. You can't. But God can make you a fisher of men. Make myself available to God's heart, God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, God's vision, God's eternal purpose, and he does the making. And the word make is an amazing word that's used there. I will make you fishers of men. The word is poieo, which means I will qualify you with my life. I will qualify you with my life. I will do the making. I can't do the making. I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to live in fear. But if God does the making, I do the taking, God does the making.
Okay.
And that's very important. But you see, do you have a lot of people that even talk about it, teach it? Are there Bible schools? I remember one time Pastor Saruma said this to me. He said he went to a Bible school. He said, and he was in a class all about the gospel and evangelization of Uganda in different parts. And he asked the teacher, when do you evangelize? He says, oh, I've never done that. He quit the school. Good move. He quit the school.
Yeah.
Here's a man teaching about evangelism and the gospel who's never shared his faith.
Yeah.
Why would I want to listen to him? So if teachers and leaders do not bring the gospel to a lost and dying world, then what am I sitting under? There's the question. I know that hurts a lot of people. A lot of people could say, well, boy, I'm in a church where nobody ever does that. Well, maybe you ought to think about whether that's really a church. Is it ecclesia, called out of God? I know I'm saying some strong things today, but that's the intention. Why? Because we have a world and even in a country where we have multiplicity of churches, but how many are involved in missions and in weekly events with the gospel, bringing the gospel to people?
Which, to that end, we were talking about missions this week. So much of missions doesn't have a lot of the Great Commission. Honestly speaking, I mean, we have medical missions. I mean, and I don't know how many groups can exist without borders. I've seen chiropractors without borders. I've seen pediatricians without borders. I even think there's veterinarians without borders. It's every possible American or first world group is now without borders, and they're going to third world countries and offering help socialistically, altruistically, but there's no great commission. There's no gospel. There's no preaching. Then there's also social missions, Pastor Shabelli. We're going to go dig a well. We're going to go teach literacy.
Yeah.
These are not bad things, but my question is this. How is this linked to the Great Commission?
Well, it should be something that's done as an offshoot of the gospel. There's nothing wrong with doing some of those things. I mean, most of the missions today are medical, educational, agricultural, and social.
That's
those four things.
Wow.
Medical, educational, building schools, agriculture. All needed. Nothing wrong with that.
They're not bad.
They're not bad. But they neglect even to bring in as the center of all of it, as the foundation, mm-hmm. the message of the gospel. We should do those things, but they should not be the priority. The priority is, okay, so somebody gets doctor's help, they go to hell. Somebody gets educated, they go to hell. Somebody gets food to eat, agriculture, they go to hell. Somebody gets social help, they go to hell. No, the first message should be there's a heaven and there's a hell. There's a Jesus Christ who loves you, paid for your sins, died for you. You can be born again, you can be saved, and you can be changed. And the other things are like, okay, but they are not the foundation.
So there's got to be a link. If I'm going to go on the mission field, it doesn't matter what field I'm in. It doesn't matter what the purpose of my mission or the, mm-hmm. the niche that I have. There has to be a connection to the commission. There has to be the gospel. We can dig wells with the gospel. We can teach literacy with the gospel. Mm-hmm. We can do those things with the. And if there is no gospel, then there is no mission. Really,
we do these things. Like we had doctors come from our church here to Africa, and they did mm-hmm. clinics. But mm-hmm. they had tracks with them, and they were sharing the gospel.
Yes.
We've had people that we have educational institutions. We have a lot of schools around mm-hmm. the world, mm-hmm. but those schools are based on Jesus Christ, okay? Agricultural projects, social projects, all with a foundation mm-hmm. of the good news,
the
gospel. Because if you have all of that without the good news, you've really got a sophisticated bad news.
Well, what tends to happen is we look like the world.
Yeah.
We look like a USA. Yeah. We look like world peace. There's no difference because we have the same message. We want to help people, but not lead people to God.
Right.
We'd love to hear from you. Call us. We'd love to hear your stories about evangelism. Maybe you've been on the mission field and you've seen the application of the Great Commission in your field. Call us at 1-800-338-7060 or locally and nationally at 410-483-3700. We'd love to hear from you. Let's read a few of these
comments
from Facebook. You can email us at YouTube or Facebook or gracehour.org. Madeline Johnson says, good morning. Hannah Pinkova says, we want others to get to know a loving God as I have found. Interesting question here. I'll come back to this one. But Belinda Gentry talks about, I grew up in a childhood church and soul winning in missions, and it blessed me personally when I witness, especially when someone else accepts Christ.
Mm.
I pray that listeners heed and apply this teaching. It will change your life and your heart. Your growth will be at a higher level. I can't explain with right words or emphasize this rightly.
That's good.
Says, those who lead many to righteousness, quoting Daniel 12:3, to right standing with God, will shine like the stars forever and mm-hmm. ever. Chris Roosh asks this question. Pastor Stevens once said that evangelism starts in the body. How do you guys feel about evangelizing in your own church?
Well, every single church service, we have a salvation call. All right?
Yeah.
And every church service, we ask for new visitors. Mm-hmm. And then somebody goes to minister to them. And I'm sure if they found out that they were visiting and they weren't saved, that they would lead them to Christ,
mm-hmm.
like maybe in the cafe or the sometime after church service.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, they hear a gospel message, very clear cut every single service.
Mm-hmm.
So we do evangelize in the church, and it's not like you want to start passing out tracts to everybody that enters into your church service.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about that.
Right.
But we're talking about giving a very clear, precise message about what salvation is all about. If you are here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, we say the same thing on Grace Hour. That should be a foundation for all that we do.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
What's interesting, Pastor Billy, is that there's large churches that don't give the gospel. They don't do an altar call. They preach the message, but they don't really have a gospel Sunday morning message. They have a message. It's teaching. A lot of times it's motivational. A lot of times, but there's no gospel. There's no great commission in their pulpit ministry.
Probably not a church. Sorry about that.
Wow.
No. Okay. You know what? I would say if a church does not have a desire, at least have a desire, or a purpose,
okay,
or a way to reach lost people, then I would consider that an organization that gathers together to talk about Jesus, but that's where it ends.
Mm. Let's take it back a bit. In the Great Commission, there's two big parts. The first part, there's two major declarations.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 28, verse 19, the beginning declaration is to go. There is to go, And it says, all authority is given to me, he says in verse 18. Then in verse 19, he says, go make disciples.
Right.
Go
right,
make disciples.
Right, right.
So the command to make disciples among the nation, what does that look like in missions? Because frankly, discipleship is kind of a forgotten ministry in missions.
Well, yeah, it's two aspects. Mark 16 is preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes.
Person. Making disciples is making learning ones, because those learning ones will go after more people and make more learning ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it goes. Like we started in Africa, I can say specifically in West Africa, and the ministry has grown to 278 churches.
Mm.
And that's all based upon making disciples. We started with a small place in Ghana,
yes.
a small place in Togo, a small place in Liberia, and a church happened. And then they made disciples, having a Bible college. And then people were trained, and then they went to surrounding cities and surrounding countries. Let's say the country of Togo, which is the poorest country in Africa, probably in the world, maybe, but it's very poor. From Togo, they went to Ivory Coast.
Mm-hmm.
From Togo, they went to Burkina Faso.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Mali.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Niger.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Benin.
Yes.
I mean, and on it goes. They went to the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a church that preached the gospel, had a Bible school, trained people, and then those people became parts of a team, believe in team missions, would go to another country and do the very same thing there. And then eventually those people would reach another country.
So, and this is important. When you're talking about going to the mission field, part of your export out of your local assembly and part of your import into a new place has to include the gospel, and every aspect of your mission to somehow connect to the Great Commission.
It should.
If you're feeding the homeless, if you're helping couples, if you're helping illiterate children, if you're doing hospital visitation, all of those things should be commission, Great Commission, gospel related. I think sometimes we don't have a schedule that leads to that, Pastor Belli.
We don't see the importance of it.
Okay.
We don't have a schedule because we don't see how important it is. I said if somebody is fed, somebody gets medical help, somebody gets social help, somebody gets educational help, and they're not saved,
right?
What have you done? So you could spend millions and millions of dollars doing those things, but then it falls short because it never brings in a transformation that could take place by simply receiving Christ as your personal Savior, the simple gospel. And, you know, Satan is very sophisticated. And he can use those sophisticated things that even have a Christian title on them or a name tag to them, and that they would be there in the forefront and never bring people to a conversion. And by the way, the enemy can actually be a source of that and make that happen because it does everything but bring people to Christ. You know, in other words, like let's do a lot of good things, but we never bring anybody to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good works. It's good works. It's a good program,
right.
But there's never a transformation that takes place. So a person ends up lost. They're lost.
So
that's it.
I guess it's possible to say that there's a lot of missions that don't have the dual, the two-fisted, winning the lost and making disciples.
Having worked in Africa from 86 to now. You're talking 36 years.
Yes.
I've seen my share of them.
Wow.
And they think that's too intimidating. If we do that right away, they won't come back. Oh, really? Well, why did Jesus go out? He fed hungry people. Of course he did. But he came to preach the gospel. He preached the gospel. That was his objective. That was his goal, preaching the gospel. Jesus himself did it, the good news. He came. He preached the good news in Nazareth, his first message, Luke chapter 5. He preached the gospel, to preach the gospel to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what God himself was doing, and that's what the Apostle Paul and Peter and the apostles all did, what has happened? What has happened in the in-between? Since then to now, what has taken place? And I can say that in the early church and in early church history, there was a great emphasis on missions in the gospel.
Yes.
It seems like people have gotten so sophisticated, they have taken themselves right out of the simple faith and truth of the gospel.
Let's take a step back. Okay, we're talking about missions, and you're the director of missions, which is great. We're talking about missions on Grace Hour. The two sides of the Great Commission, which is preach the gospel, and make disciples. If I'm listening to this, what are some ways that I can take part or promote the gospel or the Great Commission, the preaching of the gospel?
Well, personal evangelism myself.
Okay.
In other words, like, God, give me a heart for lost souls.
Okay.
I don't have a heart for lost souls because that's the new heart, mm-hmm. and the old heart's reigning. Mm-hmm. So, God, you personally give me a heart for lost people.
Okay.
Then help me to be creative in how to draw other people into going on outreach or reaching people.
Okay.
How do I do this creatively? I can remember being in a church when it started off, and somebody evangelized me, Pastor Tom Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to me, and I went to church. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have gone to church if somebody hadn't spoken to me mm-hmm. about the gospel message. So it's encouraging other people, and not through laying a guilt trip on them, not through some kind of works program or something, but just showing them God's heart, mm-hmm. how much God cares for people everywhere, whoever they may be. So I've got to start with individuals. Then saying maybe I'm in a church,
mm-hmm.
I'm in a church. Then I would pray that I would bring, so let's say that there was no such thing happening in a church. I'd go to the leadership of the church and say, could you explain to me what you think about in regards to the importance of the gospel as a pastor and as leaders? Mm-hmm. I'd ask that question. And if I got an answer, well, it's not important to us, we're not going to do that, then maybe I'm on my way. Okay, I don't know. It's going to have to be God's leading.
Sure.
Maybe God will have me stay there and be an example. I can remember coming back to a church that had 600 people,
mm-hmm.
and we had evangelism on a Wednesday night before church. I mean, it's a good time to do it, to come
sure.
to church. Three of us out
wow.
of 600.
Wow.
You know what I said to myself? What do I do about this? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? I moved to Baltimore because I knew that Pastor Stevens mm-hmm. cared about lost souls.
Yes.
You know what? It was sad, and I was convinced I was not going to be able to make a change. You know,
yeah.
That I wasn't going to, that I was going to get more frustrated than anything else because of a lack of the leadership's desire to see the importance of that. And this is very sad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, soul winners.
Yes.
Are there people that care about evangelism? The greatest work on planet Earth is evangelizing.
Mm.
There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing greater than that.
So the first part of the Great Commission on the mission field is bringing them in through evangelism.
Yes.
With the gospel. And the second part.
Discipling.
Which is bringing them up.
Bring them in, bring them up.
That's it.
Bring them in,
Let's
bring them up.
Let's talk about bringing them up.
Oh, boy. You know what? Like, why couldn't we see how clearly simple that is, how clear and simple?
Mm-hmm.
Bring them in, bring them up. How do we bring them up? There's got to be personal investment.
Okay.
There must be training. There must be some type of training. That's why we see the importance of wherever we plant the church, having a Bible college.
Yes.
Maybe we have five churches in an area that's within like 10 square miles.
Yes.
Maybe we need just one Bible school there, but a place where they can get to mm-hmm. to be trained. So they need to be trained in Bible school
mm-hmm.
3 or 4 years, okay. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever, can vary. And then we need people who are going to personally invest in those people.
Okay.
The training is not just sitting in the classroom only,
yeah.
but discipleship means... actually, I have a 4-point definition of discipleship: an abiding fellowship of love and faith,
mm-hmm.
a receptive relationship to the word of grace, an eternal purpose in learning of him, a spiritual walk on a journey through life.
Say that again slower for our listeners.
I think I already forgot it.
No, it'll come.
It'll come. An abiding fellowship of love and faith.
Okay.
My relationship with God is based on his love mm-hmm. and his faith. A receptive relationship to God's word and grace,
mm-hmm.
an eternal purpose to learn of him, a spiritual walk on a journey through life.
Mm.
That's what akolatheo means.
Okay.
Some other words you can use, dioko akolatheo, but that's what the word discipleship means, or follow. The word follow is so key, because when God uses the word follow, he's talking about discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me,
mm-hmm.
and I will make you fishers of men. It was much more than just like tag along.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to McDonald's, you know, or Burger King or whatever. But follow me, making disciples. So if we bring them in and don't bring them up, eventually we won't bring them in.
Wow.
See, if
wow.
you bring them in and bring them up,
mm-hmm.
you bring them in and don't bring them up, you won't bring them in. Eventually, it'll just go away.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just
mm-hmm.
go away. But mm-hmm. we bring them in, we bring them up, and then they bring them in, and then they bring them up. And we've been doing this for 50 years.
Yes.
Starting from Pastor Stevens.
Over 50.
Yeah, over 55 years of doing this. And God forbid if we ever stop doing it
yes.
this way. You know what? Mm-hmm. God forbid. You know what? We can get so occupied with buildings and all these kind of things, and they're important, and I know they're necessary. We can get occupied with everything but the gospel. And that is a sad day.
Yeah, yeah. That's got to be the plan for missions. As much as I want to go to the mission field, prepare for the mission field, get to the mission field, when I'm operating in the mission field, all that the reason why I'm there is the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we speak to people is the Great Commission. The reason why we invest and disciple and preach and teach is the Great Commission. Connecting with people with God's message is why we're there.
And that's why we have Friday staff is usually at 12 o'clock. Today they went out early. I'll try to find out why and what actually happened. We have the young people, the teens would go out on Friday nights. Saturday, we go out. We're here at 9 o'clock. We go out till 12, and then not all that time, but maybe a couple of hours, and then a lunch wrap after that. Mm-hmm. And we have individual outreaches during the week that are conducted by different people in the ministry, reaching people, all with the objective of reaching people.
Yes.
And so when we have these church activities like these, they actually help people to personally be evangelical.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I tell people, if you've never gone on evangelism, just come and watch. Go with somebody who's done it and just come and watch and listen. Mm-hmm. Don't try to do anything. I don't care if you do that for a month or whatever, you know.
Yes.
Don't feel intimidated that you have to say something right away. And by the way, when you tell people that, usually the first time they're talking more than anybody else.
Usually.
Know? Yeah, usually that's what happens. You know, but really just come and view it. Come along and listen. Then how about reading about God's mind on missions?
Yes.
Do people do that? Do people read Romans 1? Mm-hmm. Do people read 1 Corinthians 9?
Mm-hmm.
Do people read the book of Jonah? Do people read Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 21, Acts 1, 7, and 8? You know, Acts 8, Acts 9, and 10, Acts 13, Acts 16, Acts 19, Acts 27. Do they read those things? If you don't read the Bible, I'm avoiding all those things because it's too challenging for me. I don't think I can do that. You know what? Well, God can. How about trusting Him to come in and do it in my life?
Yeah.
You know, God can. I think there's one thing I prayed, God, if there's one thing I could do up to the end of my life, is to be a soul winner.
Mm.
Maybe there comes a point where you can't even read anymore. You can't study. You can't do this. I can still evangelize.
Yes.
You can still evangelize people. They say when Richard Wurmbrand was very ill, they thought he had, at one point, they said, 5 major diseases, any one which could kill anybody. And that they put him in the death room in the prison because he was so bad. The death room is they gave you 2 good nights rest before you die. Well, he stayed in the death room for 2 years. He never got better. And so they didn't take him out. But he witnessed every single person that came in on the other bed, because there was 2 beds there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it was amazing ministry for him all that time. So he didn't let his sickness, I don't feel good, I'm sick. It's a little bit cold out. It's too hot out. It's too cold out. Oh, you know what? I've heard about, you know, what could happen if you confront people, you know what? And all these things come in, and they are used by the devil to capture the mind rather than being captured by God's love for people, you know?
So, we'd love to hear from you about the gospel. 1-800-338-7060, 410-483-3700. We're talking
anything
about
up there?
Missions.
Missions.
And the Great Commission. Because there's a lot of missions. You see the commercials on TV. You hit the ads in the newspaper. You get all these different things online about advertising toward helping people. And the argument is always, don't you want to help other people? But do I have a help that's divorced from the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Let's read a few of our messages that came in online. We have Madeline Johnson, so very important. People need to know the truth and hope. Nikki Greenwood says, here in the state I live in, we have gone looking for a church, and none of these things happen. The Bible's never open. They talk about their feelings. They don't give an altar call. I have seen an entire service. Not once did they pray. So now we travel to Pastor Bailey's church. I'm guessing that's Bailey Norman. This topic is so important. Elizabeth Hogue says, in discipling during soul winning, I also get people's names so that I can pray for them. Without connecting with people in my bus stop and bus riding ministry, get the story helps in prayer. Madeline Johnson says, personal investment, even in one person, is so important because of love's sake.
Yes.
We can draw that person or that family.
I think Melvin Johnson, is that his name?
Madeline Johnson.
Oh, Madeline Johnson. Sorry. I thought it was Melvin. I know a Melvin.
This is Madeline.
Wow.
But
keep going. Keep going. I mean, think about it. Like, somebody reached you.
Yeah.
I mean, how did you hear the gospel? Somebody had either communicated in church. That's a person reaching a person. Mm-hmm. He's preaching. You're sitting there. Mm-hmm. Somebody spoke to you about the gospel at work or at your house or someplace, somebody in the family. I mean, we didn't get saved by just all of a sudden seeing the message drop from heaven.
Yes.
Like something supernatural. All of a sudden, the book hit you on the head that was from heaven. And God said, would you mind opening up to this and reading this? No. Somebody spoke to us.
Yes.
Somebody communicated to us the gospel. And I know that, like, it happened to me maybe two or three times before I got saved when Pastor Stewart came. And every time I rejected it, said no. But there was something about, you know, can you imagine? Like, I was afraid of this young girl. She was talking about the gospel. She put fear in me. You know, and I'm the street person and all this, you know, criminal. And it's this person with the message made me want to run away. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I realized, like, why am I afraid of this girl? Because she has a message. And that message is bringing in a loving conviction into my life.
Yes. It's amazing. If you're born again, someone initiated to you because somebody obeyed the Great Commission. If you're born again, someone initiated to you. And if you're still in church, somebody invested in you. So it's always an initiation and an investment. It's an initiation and it's an investment. It's the Great Commission. And let me say this afternoon, wherever you are, that is your mission field. Wherever God has planted you, your job, your neighborhood, your family, these are all mission fields. Don't get so exotic where you think you've got to get on a plane, spend $2,000 and travel for 3 days to be officially a missionary. Where God has you, you have a mission and you have a Great Commission. You've got a mandate from God to share your faith with people, and also a mandate from God to invest the life of God that's in you in other people, to preach the gospel and make disciples.
Don't be afraid. Think about this statement. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now you go. Mm. In other words, you got all the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and heaven behind you. Mm-hmm. See, but the devil wants you to concentrate on what's in you, the old sin nature, and the fears and the doubts and the worries and the anxieties and all this thing that's going on. And he wants you to focus on that rather than focus on bringing the gospel to somebody. It could be, you're at a gas station. Somebody's pumping gas. You give them a message.
Yes.
And if you God initiation, you don't do it, don't get so condemned that you never do it again. Mm-hmm. Or don't go forward and do it on a guilt trip. Mm-hmm. In other words, like, just go forward knowing that God forgives and God loves. But how important this is, and how important it is for church leaders. If you're a pastor listening to this today, may there be an encouragement and a conviction that I would make 2023 in our church, in our individual lives, a year that we're going to share our faith. It's going to be, what good is a New Year's celebration if I'm not concerned about seeing people become new?
Yes.
Yeah. What good is that? What good is that? Yeah, I don't care even if it's in a church. We don't have any vision to see people become new, then New Year's becomes just another old thing, an old wives' fable.
So as we're closing this is the last Grace Hour of 2022.
Yes.
This is a great way to stir up your faith. To listen to this, you can hear it, this podcast, play it again on Apple Podcasts or Google or Spotify or Audible or Stitcher. Play this again. Stir up your faith. Get worked up. Get stirred up. Get convicted that, okay, God, in 2023, I want to be a soul winner. I want to obey the Great Commission. I want to share my faith, and I want to be an investor. And help me, God, to make disciples. There is room in my life for more than just me. God has a call on my life. And join us here. You can bring in your new year with us.
Yes.
Tomorrow at 8 p.m., we'll be here at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. Come join us for a New Year's Eve celebration. We'll be here. There'll be a great time of preaching. There'll be refreshments. We'll be here to bring in the new year with God together with the body of Christ as we look forward to going into 2023 with the gospel, the Great Commission. wherever God would call you and have you to be. We want to direct you and lead you together in God's gospel. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. We'll see you next year
next
on
year?
The Grace Hour.
Yes.